Poems by Ingrid Wendt. Requiem with Rhododendrons. When, after 3 weeks mostly in bed, except when I wasn't, learning to stand on my own, and then to step with walker, and then with cane, to put one undependable foot in front of the other, to navigate under the strictest supervision all those long, too shiny halls. When, after weeks of meals with patients whose brains like mine were swollen, whose very essence had been exposed, if not by the nimble fingers of surgeons, then by the Judas of their own dear bodies. When, after night on endless night at the beck and call of my vital signs, and the constant need of the ever-changing staff to read them, allowing me 2 hours sleep at a time, unable to dream. When, after Andrew Lloyd Webber's Hosanna, nightly through earphones, unlocked the vast, newly opened space at the base of my skull, and at last a volunteer wheeled my chair out the door and into the campus green enfolded in the great red blossoms of rhododendron, into the freshness of a spring I didn't know had slowly been arriving. Tears that for so many years had been inaccessible, not even when one of my best friends died. Tears all on their own rose, Hosanna, spilled over, Hosanna, in tune with every newly opened cell of my soul, with blossoms praising the ever-lengthening sun. And I, certain as never before, of what someday lies ahead, knew also what lay behind, the tomb of the unassailable heart. Qui venit in nomine Domini? Tell me, what am I to do with so much love? Poem number 2, Ingrid Wendt. Ode to the Yucatan Grackle. Rusty hinge, old squeaky door, dishes crashing to the floor. You call this song, you rowdy castanet? I call it a martial art of the beak. And most days you win, you stun me awake. But some days I rise even earlier, climb, while the rest of the world sleeps, the steps to my terrace to greet the sun all by myself. And still you streak to your everyday perch on my rooftop peak, you sleek bullet with wings. You notice me? Not at all. Croaking your morning declaration to each of the 4 directions, you bristle. Your tail, that slender foot-long ruler, flails the air between you and the whole green horizon with every sky-splitting shriek and minor key cackle. If ever we wanted a bright, golden-eyed flaunting of proud possession, you are surely it. But only at dawn. I don't know what you do the rest of the day or where you go to sleep. Last night, the air was full of mystery, giant rings around the moon, wispy things like clouds, as though the moon had drawn them together from all the sky. Till dawn, they were under a spell. But you, my jungle jackhammer, challenge even the sun. How dare it rise without your shrill permission, your hot fat sizzling, cracking open the whole eastern horizon as well as my sleep? And so to save myself, I strategize. What I can't control, I can admire, and go to bed earlier. Oh, such shimmering black iridescence, such swashbuckling glimmering, golden eyes to leave me quivering, eyes that could snare me, stop my heart, and then, sweetheart, you open your mouth. Ingrid Wendt, poem number 3, A Valentine for Akumal, with the epigraph, Verde que te quiero verde, by Federico Garcia Lorca. Oh, how I love your evergreen jungle, everything blooming or bearing or ready to be born, sometimes all three at once on the same delirious plants. Your coconut palms, for instance, under the ever-sashaying fronds, 5 or 6 clusters of fruits and flowers in all stages of production year-round. How much I learn from them and from your birds. I love their constant mating ballets. How do they keep at it all day, every day? Waiting for them to cease and desist would be like waiting for the sun to eclipse the moon. Your cocoa brown doves do it on the one bare branch in all that berry-filled tree next to my balcony, shamelessly. Oh, so much fertility! My eyes have died and gone to heaven, and that's not even to begin naming what's in your Eden under the sea. Look, Valentine, see, I'm blossoming, I'm bearing, even as I speak, be mine. Ingrid Wendt, poem 4, Benediction. With the epigraph, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. Because I'd once been told what women always had done, though never how or why. After you died, the last tube taken out and gone, and they offered to leave us alone, I asked if I could wash you. The soapy water was warm, as you were still and soft. The basin was round, the towels and washcloths thick and white, and there was no strangeness in it, really, and I didn't cry, and that, too, was part of the wonder. I began with one smooth, pliant arm, as once you daily must have done with me, as once you must have done at your own mother's death. I carefully dipped one cloth, and carefully wrung it, and carefully bathed the whole freckled length of your arm, your docile hand, each finger light in its yielding. And though you had no choice in acquiescing to my love, I did not revel in my power, but slowly lifted, washed, and patted dry each limb in turn, your crooked toes and in between the toes, your shoulders, breasts, the secret folds between your legs, thin pubic hairs, and with a different cloth which would have been your way, your face. I took my time. I lingered in this unexpected absence of condition or demand. And when at last, with nothing more to do, I sat beside your bed and took the hand I'd long since lost the need to hold, and laid my grown-up hand inside. Oh, familiar shape, my fingers knew by heart and had forgotten that they'd ever known, how long this total rightness had been gone. And as leisurely as once I must have done, when simple being was enough to please you, I let my eyes, without distraction, wander every tiny detail of your face, its astonishing calm. I saw again your chin, unguarded, saw your knuckles, worn, arthritic, sang a tune that came from who knows where. This is the hand that fed me, hand that held me, hand that punished me, hand that led me. For hours, sunlight was the only thing that moved and soon would be gone, and your hand in mine, still warm. I stood to kiss your forehead. It was cold. But I had been in the presence of holiness, world without end, and was done. Ingrid Wendt, next poem, Mukilteo Ferry. After the long drive north, relentless the traffic, relentless the heightened news of yet another alert. After each car, each truck has clanged from dock to steel-plated deck and parked, and I get out to stand at the stern. Light wind, clouds breaking, and the quaking of tethered engines. Beyond this iron chain, the dark water churning. Without warning, the cloak of a great calm descends upon me. Like the very word, upon, the way it slows the sentence down, a measured word, hinged, the way fish in their inscrutable expressions hang immobile, as though rooted each to its own place. And I enter again into the beneficence of the world of water, whose rhythms will not be hurried, into whose covenant, under the ancient composure of stars, we pull anchor and begin to sail.